Making the world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm looking at a post on Facebook. It says, damn, scandal got canceled. I'm wondering if this poster is talking about the television show, the long-running television show, Scandal, because I never cared for the show, actually. I never watched it. But I've heard all about it. It was a hit, whether I watched it or not. You know, I didn't think much of it, really. I mean, maybe I'm just old and touched, but I never watched the show. I tried to watch it one time. It just didn't, it wasn't there for me. But if this is true that Scandal, the show, if this is true that it got canceled or that it is canceled, it's a surprise. It's a surprise like when we first heard that James Comey, the FBI director out of the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., was fired so abruptly by Donald Trump. I've talked about this in some length yesterday on the show. And I'm understanding that Comey didn't even know he was fired. He found out through television reports and news reports like the rest of us. I thought that was a really effed up way to fire somebody, to fire people in the media. It's just awful, you know, to do something like that. And Donald Trump is going around now saying that he, as if, you know, he fired this guy because of Hillary Clinton, which is a total lie. That's a they couldn't stand Hillary back in 2016. They thought she was you know, a criminal, and they were yelling lock her up and all that kind of stuff. And it's just a lie. I mean, this is not because of Hillary Clinton. Then he goes on to say that he fired James Comey because he wasn't doing a good job. That's a low blow. Because he wasn't doing a good job, but Trump did not give any details on what he was not specifically doing in his job. Everybody knows that Trump fired this guy because this guy was investigating the administration. I mean, yeah, there's no way to get over that. There's no way to get by that, but they're going to try. Kellyanne Conway, she carried her lying ass all around the news circuit today, lying and trying to spin this, and it just did not work. Okay, he fired this guy. There could have been I'm not saying it was the best. If he's going to fire this guy, he should have fired him last year when he brought up, at the last minute of the election, a week before the election, he brought up things on Hillary's emails that later found out that there was nothing there. And she could have subsequently lost the election because of that. She feels that she lost the election because of that. Why? Because this guy was not. And my understanding, Comey told Donald Trump that Donald Trump was not involved. Three times he told Donald Trump he was not involved in any any involvement in Russia. Probe this investigation. Obviously, Trump felt he was lying and wasn't doing enough. Of course, Trump fired this guy out of he wasn't doing enough to get him off the hook with this Russia probe. Give me a break. That's what it was all about. He did not succumb to he was independent. He worked on his own. He was investigating Trump. Trump liked that. Trump wanted him to be under his wing. And he said, no, this is an independent investigation. I'm going to do it. I don't care if you're the boss or not. This is an investigation on you. I'm going to do it properly. I'm going to do it within the law. And I'm going to expose whatever I find. And Trump did not like that. Trump fired him. Trump fired him through Jeff Sessions, who had earlier recused himself from the investigation. Suddenly, Sessions tells James Comey, from my understanding, that he's fired through Donald Trump. And Sessions recused himself. That means that he was no longer supposedly to be involved in the investigation. He stood neutral from the investigation. He told everybody that Trump said it was, equated all around, but somehow that was another lie because he did not recuse himself because he was in the thick of it. I believe that Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions, they have crime and corruption written all on their asses. I mean, this is the most corrupt administration. It's the most dumbest, most uneducated administration in the history of the United States. The United States look really bad, and other countries are laughing at us because we've got these buffoons that do not know what the hell they're doing. Only thing they're doing is wrecking this country, And I read an article in the, at least not an, yeah, an article in the, Huffington Post, and it was a great article. Let's see if it's still here. I'm just going to read parts of it, and it talks about what we the American people have to do. We have to stop this. We have to be active. We got to get active out there. We gotta do something about these 2 cent lying ass politicians who think they control everything because they're a representative or a senator. It's time to move beyond the polite protest within specified boundaries. It's time to escalate the expression of our outrage and our anger in a massive way. I'm not talking about riots or anything. Starting today, from here on, no elected officials, certainly those in the GOP defending and supporting Trump on a variety of issues, for example, should be able to sit down for a nice, quiet lunch or dinner in a Washington, D.C. eatery, or even in their own homes. They should be hounded by protesters everywhere they go, especially in public, in restaurants, in shopping centers, in their districts, and yes, on the public property outside of their homes and apartments in Washington and back in their home states. I totally adhere to that. I think we have to really make our voices known, and not only our voices, but our presence known whenever these assholes walk up and down the street. We should be there protesting, yelling, and screaming at them. But we can do that. You know what? We can do that at the ballot box next year, November 2018. Get them scoundrels, wipe them assholes out of Washington, D.C., because they are doing nothing but hurting America. They're embarrassing America. They are having other countries and other leaders overseas and abroad laughing at us, laughing at America. And I don't blame them. We are disgusting because we have a disgusting administration. These people want to be Hitler. They want to take us back to Nazi Germany. This is what it looks like. Trump, I mean, how can Trump talks, but how can you believe anything that comes out of this man's mouth? How can you believe anything that comes out of his administration? Anybody who works for him. Most of the people who work for Trump are his flunkies, his yes men, his ass kissers. They lick his boots. I mean, he wants somebody that, and that's the kind of people Trump wants around him. He wants people who are going to adhere to every little thing he say, but praise him out on the media circuit when they're going around television, talk shows, and all this kind of stuff. This is the kind of people he wants. This man don't know crap about nothing. He doesn't know the first thing about running a government. Donald Trump is going to be Donald Trump. The best way to get rid of Donald Trump is to impeach him. But I say that lightly because if you impeach Donald Trump, then you get this asshole Mike Pence. And I have a feeling that Mike Pence, Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump, I think they're all peas in a pot. And then you got some of these Republicans in Congress aiding and abetting Donald Trump. They're aiding and abetting him. They're supporting him. They're defending him. And that's a damn shame. And most of these representatives who are defending him, I've been hearing from people and I on social media just buzzing with this shit. I mean, they are buzzing with the majority of the posters, and there's millions and millions of people on social media buzzing about this. And most of the talk is very, very negative against Trump and his administration. But you know what? Trump is out there blasting all of us because we don't believe him. We don't believe him. Why would we believe him? He's been lying since he's been in office. Actually, he's been lying all his life, and he's been getting away with it. We have to stop this man in his fucking tracks. He is a danger to the United States. And the Republicans in Congress who are supporting and enabling him and defending him, we got to find a way to get those assholes out too. You know, because they are just as dangerous as this man is. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I usually start the show by talking about the weather, but hey, wow, the weather is screwed up, it's messed up, it's effed up, and it's raining now. We just have not seen spring in a while. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I came on with a rant, didn't I? 347-857-1762. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. My author Leslie Nolan, another really nice name to read, easy. It just rolls off your tongue, you know. Author Leslie Nolan on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see. Yeah. She'll be talking about intentional creativity. She's an intentional creativity coach. If you don't know what that is, once she's on the show, Denver, the pizza. Okay. Once she's on the show, she will tell us what that is. It's, if I can say it again, intentional creativity coach. Yeah, that's it. All right. Like I said before, it's time to move beyond polite protests, folks, within specified boundaries, actually within reason, okay? It's time to escalate the expression of our outrage. It's time to be really, really pissed off, but we stay nonviolent, you know, at these clowns in office who are aiding and abetting Donald Trump. And our anger, with our anger in a massive way, starting today, from here on, no elected official, certainly those in GOP defending, okay, put it this way, especially Republicans who are defending and supporting Donald Trump on a variety of issues. For example, should be able to sit down for a they should not be able to sit down for a nice quiet lunch unless somebody's there protesting and screaming at them to do the right thing in Congress for the American people. And Mitch McConnell, wow, easy for me to say, right? The majority leader, the senator, the majority leader in Congress, the Senate, okay? I mean, he just stated that everybody's been calling for a independent prosecutor because we cannot trust anybody Donald Trump appoint. But Mitch McConnell saying that he doesn't see a need for it. What the hell does he think he is? He doesn't see a need for it. the American people, the American people of the United States want independent prosecutor. The American people. This is what I've been talking about, folks. The Republicans in Congress don't give a damn about what you want, what I want. It's what their party wants. You're going to say everybody in the United States, I mean, everybody in America above voting age, maybe even lower, is calling for an independent prosecutor to continue to probe into this Russia interference in the 2016 election. But this asshole, Mitch McConnell, said he doesn't see a point to having an independent prosecutor brought in. That means that Trump can appoint his own FBI director who's going to kiss his ass, who's going to try to get him off. I mean, we can't trust anything Trump does. And now it's clear that the Republicans are aiding and abetting. They're accomplice to this kind of stuff, what Trump is doing, because they refuse to get an independent prosecutor, somebody who's independent of everything, not caving into the Democrats, not caving into the Republicans, but there to find the truth on this Russia matter and everything else that's going on in the White House. And this Mitch McConnell, he says no. Who is he to say no to a special prosecutor? It should be the American people with that who is in charge of getting an independent prosecutor. Sorry. It should be the American people. Why does these few assholes in Congress trump 300 and something million people within the United States? I'm talking about the population. These few little assholes in Congress, like Mitch McConnell, who's probably in bed with Trump, is the reason why he's not going to get an independent prosecutor to see this investigation through. Because if we don't have an independent prosecutor, Trump is probably going to get away with major crimes and misdemeanors within the White House. And these people are really, really, they know they are really wreaking hell in the White House. They're disrespecting the White House. Did you see Kellyanne Conway a few months ago, the way she was sitting on the couch in the Oval Office like a street person? Trump inviting all of them goons and thugs and gangsters in the White House. You know, murderers and dictators. He have all them assholes over. The other day he had Sarah Palin and Ted Nugent, two people who are known for their their racist comments, you know. So, you know, he has these bad fellas over, and a lot of the Republicans, especially the representatives in Congress, we can vote these people out, folks. We can get them out. The White House belongs to you and me, the people of this country. It doesn't belong to Donald Trump. It doesn't belong to the goons and the thugs and the gangsters that he invite to the White House, or the liars that he out here in the media. We just gotta, we've gotta do something. We're not helpless. I've said this yesterday. There is 326 million people in the United States. Why are we letting 217 representatives in the House of Representatives control us and tell us what to do? 217 people. Minus debts, okay? It's 435 representatives in Congress. And all of those representatives, they're split in half, kind of. Like half is Democrats, half are Republicans, but the Republicans are 217 more. So I guess what I'm trying to say, folks, there is more of us than there are of them. We have not to let a few of these scoundrels in Congress push us around, tell us anything, lie to us, you know, wreak havoc on America. That should not be happening. It should not be happening. Not in America. We have to get up off our asses and get out there and do the right thing. You know, because this is a dangerous time in America. And my show is all about making the world a better place. But we cannot make a world a better place if we're just going to, excuse me, I'm stuttering. We cannot make the world a better place if we're going to sit on our butts. We've got to get active. We got to do something. This is our country. We have to save it. Or are these people going to take America down? And they've already taken it down a little bit. I mean, they've already taken it down, but we have to do something to make sure we don't go down into the sewer. You know, because we got sewer people in the White House and they don't give a shit about taking America down into the sewer. And then they're going to lie and blame somebody else for it. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We will be right back. Can we do this? I'll be right back, folks. We're going to do this. All right, we're back on the show. We're back here. Okay, all right. Hey there, you're welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. You are on the air.
Hi, George. This is Leslie Nolan calling.
Hi, Leslie Nolan. Thank you for, I want to say this. Thank you for doing the show. I'm so honored. I hope that's the right word. But anyway, I am so great that you decided to do the show. How's it going?
Well, I'm honored that you invited me. Thank you so much.
No problem. No problem. Where are you calling? Where are you calling from?
I am calling from the Jersey Shore.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. It's raining here.
Yeah.
It's cloudy, rainy,
is
cold
it raining?
And everything.
It's a little chilly, but we have some beautiful sun. Nice sunsets happening right now.
Oh, great. Great for you. Okay. Tell my audience give my audience a little bit of your bio and what do you do?
Sure. So I work with creative entrepreneurs who've lost their mojo and inspirational vision. I help them reclaim their power so that they can find the courage to create their great work. And what I do is I help people get their mojo back. Have you ever had that feeling like you've lost your mojo, that feeling that life is good? I can't wait to get up and go to work and be creative and work on my business.
I guess you're saying when you say people lost their mojo, they've lost their drive or they lost their worth or something like that.
It could be a loss. It is a loss of energy. So it could be a loss of drive to either go to work. And sometimes for some folks, it might be that they're stuck in their career that they really don't like. It could be, you were once really up and into your work, whatever your creative work is, and somehow it just isn't as strong as it used to be. It might be that you're feeling confused as to what you should do with your business. Or for many people, life throws you some kind of curveball and it affects you and your business. Could be a loss of a loved one or a business change or a partner's left or could be a variety of things. It could be an illness. Could be politics. Yeah. It could be all of those things, you know, and you have those external things that affect your life and it, you know, turns things around in a direction you might not like.
Okay, so how would you motivate somebody who's lost their mojo for going to work every day?
Well, I have this very interesting process that I do. So the way I do it is actually through the process of painting. But there's several steps that we do prior to that. So the trick here, George, is that you have to really tap into yourself. So you said some beautiful things before about that we have to do the right thing and make the world a better place. So we have to start with ourselves first, right? So one way that you can get your mojo back and reclaim the power and find the courage to create your great work is to form a creative intention. And that's what you said, what is an intentional creativity coach? I should just shorten it and say creativity coach. But I want to tell you a little bit about creative intention. It's a way of saying yes to your great work in the world. So you need to tap into this inner creativity and self-expression so that you can find some direction if you lost a little clarity or inspiration. So what you have to do in order to, the best way to set an intention in order for it to be effective is there's a few things that you have to implement in order for your intention to work. First, your intention must be positive. Second, you have to have resonance. And third, you practice gratitude and it magnetically attracts you to the intention. It's almost like it pulls it right to you. So let's talk about some of these words. So resonance, so like in sound, resonance takes place when you put emotion into your stories and it evokes meaning or a responsive chord. So I could tell just listening to you that you've got a lot of passion and a lot of feeling behind your words. So you have to take this passion and the feeling, but you also
want to take that passion
and all these emotions, what you need to express. You know, you want to share these deep emotional states, but you want to bring it to a place in harmony, right? So let's talk about the resonance. So if you look in the dictionary, resonance means a quality or sound that stays loud, clear, and deep for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's a quality that makes something personally meaningful or important to you. So, you know, we have this intention that we can share, and it being backed by the power of our words, that's what brings it into manifestation, into life. So you want to have some kind of anchor or something that is important to you that you can look at. It could be a flower, it could be a rock, it could be a red thread. It's something that reminds you of your intention. What you want to do is you want to tap into your inner creativity and self-expression. So in order to do that, what you want to do is when you tap into something internal from you, like in a meditation, this moves and brings this intention towards you. And when you work with intentional creativity and an internal image that you get from within, the symbol becomes like a living being. It can heal. It can create. Mm-hmm. It activates on a deep and personal, yet a universal level. So a lot of this stuff is, steeped in psychology. There is this thing called active imagination, which is developed by Carl Jung. And in the meditation process, you go inside and it serves as a bridge to your awake mind and your unconscious mind. And it creates through imagination. So the process is, I'm sorry, do you have a question? I'm sorry, I keep babbling.
No, you're fine. But I was just letting you go on because I was enthralled and I was impressed. So I was just letting you talk on. I didn't want to talk over you while you were talking. But since you gave me a chance to interject, I'm going to say, how do other people react to what you do? How do other people act to your this type of motivation from you?
Oh, it's very deep. For each person, it's very personal, as you can imagine. You know, some people are really strong at visualizing. I am an artist and a graphic designer. But I find that anybody who considers themselves creative, whether they're musicians, yoga practitioners, whether they're writers, or there might be photographers, videographers, where many people who kind of are entrepreneurial in nature, they're very intuitive people. So some people hear, like you're probably more of an auditory person, but when you go in meditation, you might actually hear. You might be directed by hearing something. For some people, they see. That's my gift. Some people, they're kinesthetic. They feel in their body. So it's like this feeling of knowing that might accompany a visual or a message. And there's no way to fail. You know, you're mapping a myriad of ways to receive intuitive information. And it's as if your image or your painting starts to talk to you. So it's very deep. It's a real deep dive and very personal for each individual. I've just spoke with a woman today and she was so impressed that in a very short period of time, within an hour of talking together, we're really able to identify like where she was stuck, what was holding her back, and where she lost her mojo and the next steps to take.
Wow, that's great. That's great. What made you want to try and help people with this? Have you gone through some of these things? Have you gone through some of these things in your own experience?
I have most certainly lost a lot of mojo along the way. I can tell you that. You know, I've been self-employed for many years, almost 32 years total. And life, you know, you get your dips and valleys. You can be really into your work at times, and then sometimes you can just be burnt out from it. But what got me to really focus on this, I've been a graphic designer, illustrator, art director for many years. And on the side, I painted. I always painted on the side. And I was interested in, you know, creating my own paintings and images. But about 6 years ago, I think it was a culmination. It was a culmination of 2008, the market dropped. Then I got married. Then we moved. Then there was menopause. Then there was, my father got sick. Then we were looking to foster to adopt a little one. Then I had this renter completely trash my house. You know, so it was like, you know, over a course of years, I just kind of got pummeled. You know, it was just one thing after another. Yeah. And usually a person has a certain amount of resiliency, but when you get really hit from so many angles, it's kind of, you know, you lose some focus. So the real crux was when my dad passed, and there was so much drama within my family that I started to paint. And I went on this journey of painting my higher self, and I wrote a novella. And it was so moving and so impressive to me that I kept painting and painting, and I learned all I could about this intentional creativity. And now I teach this method, and I'm developing my own coursework for others so that they can create their great work. And for some people, you know, their great work might be the painting itself. And for other people, the painting is the pathway for them to inform themselves about what their great work is, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. Leslie, do you have a book? Are you an author?
I have an ebook that I am almost have my finishing touches on, and it's called Get Your Mojo Back.
The
Creative Entrepreneur's Guide to Get Your Mojo Back. And folks can do one of two things. They can either email me at leslie@lesleynolandesign.com, and I'll send them a copy. Or if they'd like to, I am gifting your audience a free Mojo Breakthrough session. It's for about an hour over the phone. And they register for that by going to, I'm going to say it out loud. It's called Acuity Scheduling, it's mojo.acuity, which is spelled A-C-U-I-T-Y. Then the word scheduling.com. And all I have to do is click on the Mojo Breakthrough Session. And I have time through the month of May and June. And hopefully moving forward where they can schedule that with me.
Sure. Do you have an excerpt that you can read? Or if it's not published, I'm pretty sure you don't have one. Do you have something you can read from this book?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I don't even have it in front of me.
That's okay. That's fine. That's all fine.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. So just give us a small synopsis or a small breakdown of, you know, maybe a chapter or so of what's in it.
Well, it's a very short little ebook. It's about 10 pages. Yeah. It talks 10? A little bit more about mojo. You know, and the definition of mojo is basically, the simple definition, is that power that might seem magical that allows someone to be very effective or successful. And the origin of mojo is probably of African origin, akin to Fulani, Mako'o, or medicine man. It's also the magic attributed to or associated with juju. And now in our nomenclature, it's commonly said to mean either sex appeal or talent. So wow. It's that kind of energy, life energy or chi, mm-hmm. they say, mm-hmm. and some other in some other cultures. It's that vital force or kundalini energy that we can all use in our life to be creative.
Yeah,
and
I
to
totally
move us
agree.
Forward. Yes.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Author Leslie Nolan on the George Wilder Journey Show. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. You were great. And the information you gave out, I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to go there and try to find out how to get their mojo back. One more question. Do you think there's a lot of people within the United States, maybe the world, who have lost their mojo? Is there a percentage on
yes,
how many people?
I mean, a lot of people mm-hmm. have, George. Mm-hmm. I really, you know, mm-hmm. the more people I speak to, I feel like a lot of people have. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know your show is very political, and a lot of my friends have been deeply moved by
Leslie,
what has been going on,
Leslie,
you know.
Leslie,
yes,
the show is not political. I'm just talking about what's going on in the world. A lot of people feel that way. It's not political. It's a variety show. We can talk about anything and do anything, you know.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I always do try to give some input on what's going on in the world today because, you know, I'm out here trying to make the world a better place. And
sure.
It's totally not. It's not political. I know it says the category political, but I mean, I you know, anything goes on the show, you know.
Sure.
As long as it's,
so
as
I
long
would
as
say that yes, I would say ahead. To answer your question, it's yes,
okay.
because there's so much transition in the world that a lot of people mm-hmm. are losing their place, their sense of place, right? And that's really important for people. Like to have your creative purpose, your focus mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. there's only one of you, George, in this world, and you've come here for some kind of sacred assignment. And when you've lost that, you know, energy to continue on whatever that mm-hmm. is, you know, we get a little lost on the way. So it's just it's a nice way to just tap back into yourself. You've got mm-hmm. the wisdom. We all do have it within ourselves. To just get back on track so that we can create our great work in the world.
Oh, thank you for your nice words. Thank you for your nice words. I'm going to thank you for being on the show. And
thank you so much for the invitation.
No problem. No problem. I think you were great. I think you were wonderful. And I agree. I do think a lot of people have lost their mojo, their drive, their ability to want to be better, whether it's entrepreneurship or just someone, just a human being maybe, but a lot of people are
just,
depressed.
Yes, they're just, it's a such basic thing. It's like not being connected to yourself.
Yeah.
You've lost your sense of self, your sense of place.
So I think you tapped into something.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, I think you've tapped into something.
It's universal.
There.
And when we get to that place where we find it within ourselves and our own sovereignty, whew, then you get the resonance of the people together. Anything can change.
All right, author Leslie Nolan. Leslie Nolan, author Leslie Nolan. Thanks for being on the show, and I hope you come back. All right? You've been great.
I would
Thank
love
you so
to.
Much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, author Leslie Nolan on the George Wilder Journey Show. All right. Let's see. We always have fun on this show, folks. As always, I try to make it fun because it is fun. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. To all of those who want to stay young.
Okay. Premature aging. Let's first get a dose of reality here. we're all going to die. That's a fact. And most of us are going to grow old before we die. So, how and when we die, we may not have much control over that, but we do have a lot of control over the area of aging, how we age. And what is happening today with a lot of people is that they are they're aging prematurely. They're developing degenerative diseases that, for example, like arthritis, like diabetes 2, like cardiovascular disease. All these things are avoidable, and people are developing these. Usually it begins in your mid-40s, and then aging happens rapidly and not in a very graceful manner. So first of all, you got to ask yourself, well, how do you want to age? Because you do have a choice here. And if you're like me, well, first of all, you would like to have the energy and the stamina of a young person, even in your older age, even in your elder years. And that's possible. That is totally doable. Another thing is you want to feel great. You don't want the aches and pains that's usually associated with aging. And that too is possible. And finally, you want to look amazing. Even though you're aging, you know you're aging, you still want to look good and sexy. That's right. You want to look sexy. You want to feel sexy. It is possible. And I believe it has to do with lifestyle and diet. In fact, I'm pretty certain it has to do with that. Now, I remember in my mid-40s, I was...
What?
Prior to that, it used to be that as long as I exercised, I could eat pretty much what I wanted and maintain my weight and be in pretty good shape. And I thought that I was healthy. It seemed to work for me. But once I hit my mid-40s, no matter how much I exercised, I was still gaining weight. And so what's the thinking here is that, oh, well, I got to exercise more and I got to exercise more just to keep the weight off. But it reaches a point. You can't, that's unrealistic. You can't just be adding another hour onto your exercise routine and then adding an extra hour on top of that, trying to keep that weight down. It doesn't work. And something has changed in your body. Your body is changing. And so, another thing that I was experiencing was the aches and pains, what I believe to be early stages of arthritis. And, you know, a poor sense of well-being, lethargy, disruptive sleep, digestive issues, all these symptoms were starting to develop in my mid-40s. And I more or less accepted that this was a part of the aging process, that what I was experiencing was normal. I couldn't have been more wrong. It wasn't normal. It was premature aging. And it wasn't until I became a vegan and started practicing a low-fat vegan diet that I realized that what this was truly premature aging. And it was not something that was normal. It wasn't normal aging. You should be able to age in a manner that you're still energetic, you're still living a vital life, you're still productive, you look good, your weight is maintained, and you feel great. And that's possible. And how it's possible is how I discovered it to be possible was through eating a low-fat vegan diet or a low-fat raw vegan diet. Otherwise known as 80-10-10, which as described in Doug Graham's book, the 80-10-10 diet is you're eating 80%, your calories are coming from 80% carbohydrates, 10% fat, 10% protein, and Doug Graham promotes eating predominantly fruits, vegetables with some nuts and seeds, but you can also practice this 80-10-10 diet by also including cooked foods like rice, quinoa, lentils. There's, you know, many different options here. But the optimal way of practicing a low-fat vegan diet is doing the low-fat raw vegan diet, and that's eating predominantly fruits and vegetables. Or you can do sort of a blend. I mean, I'm not 100% raw. I am 100% raw most of the time, but I do like occasionally to eat a cooked meal. But the important fact here is to keep it low fat. Focus on the low fat and the high carbohydrate and get your carbs from nutrient-rich fruit foods like ripe fruit and leafy green vegetables. And when you do that, then you will begin to experience a transformation in your life, and that will be a reversal of the premature aging, and you will bring your body back to where it should be. And I mean, for me, it was like in my 40s, and I'm feeling like I'm 20 years old again. I didn't think it was possible. The energy levels shot through the roof. The vitality I was experiencing was intense. And physically, I lost a ton of weight. And I just felt great overall. And so that is an experience you can have too. And it, of course, with the weight loss, you look better. Your skin, the premature aging that happens on your skin begins to change. So even that begins to reverse itself, and then you can age naturally. Like, I know the way you should. I'm losing my train of thought here. Maybe it has something to do with old age, right? Anyways, follow the 80-10-10 diet and you'll experience enormous changes in your lifestyle. I'll put a link down below where you can get the book. It will be Doug Graham's website, Food and Sport. And I highly recommend you start off by reading this book by Doug Graham, 80-10-10. And begin now, because your body, if you're in your mid-40s or older, your body's not as forgiving, and you're going to have to make changes, or else you're going to have the premature aging happening to you now, and it doesn't get better as you get older. You don't want to end up dependent on pharmaceuticals or other medical aids. You don't want to be dependent on anything where, you know, you cannot function normally in society anymore. So get on the program and enjoy aging. Enjoy the rest of the years of your life with health, fitness, vitality. Look great and feel great. Be sexy. Yeah, it's possible. Have a great day. God bless and peace be with you.
All right, thanks for that. If anybody wants to stay young, that's one of the clips you should probably be listening to. But, you know, we're going to talk about that later on into the week or next week about staying young, especially to the seniors out there. Because we just got through talking about it. I mean, you just can't sit around and do nothing. There are a lot of people out here who lost their mojo. I agree with that. Sometimes it seems like I've lost it, but I have to throw myself back in gear real quick, because I know there's things I have to do. I know there's people who are looking for me to be certain places, to do certain things. And, you know, you have to be there for people, even if it's your family. Never, ever lose your mojo. Always do. I mean, there are so many people out here who mojos are with them their entire life. I mean, if they lose their mojo, they're dead. you know, a lot of people do what they love doing until the day that they die. But if you're just sitting around a house doing nothing, you know, and you know, I agree with Leslie Nolan. You have to, and I applaud what she's doing, trying to get people to get their mojo back. You lost your drive, you lost your ability, you're depressed, you're lazy, you don't feel like doing anything. You know, your mojo is gone. Or if you ever had any mojo in the first place. And, you know, that's what we're here for, folks, to try and make the world a better place, because under Donald Trump, it's sinking fast. And another thing I want to say, Leslie brought up that this is a political show. It's not political. I know I do political talk. Sometimes I have guests on the show and we talk politics, but it's a variety show. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. If you want to talk about the moon and the stars and the skies and the lakes, the waters, the flowers that's growing in your backyard, it doesn't matter what you talk about. This is a show you can talk about a variety of things on. As long as you provide something that's useful to my audience, that's fine. I don't care what you talk about. I've had people on the show who talk about they've seen themselves dead. You know, they believe in the hereafter. You know, whether I believe in some of this stuff is not relevant. They may have something, they may know something I don't know, you know, but there's a lot of people out here who believe in that kind of stuff. Maybe it will resonate with those kinds of people. So I don't make fun of anybody who comes on the show and tells their story, because who knows, even if it sounds like a bunch of hooly, it may be interesting to some people out there. And it's always fun. I mean, I have fun with my guests on this. When they come on, I have fun. So whatever they're talking about, I try to make it interesting if I can, if at all possible. And once again, I want to thank my guest, Leslie Nolan, for being on the show. She didn't have to, but she did. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I appreciate what she's contributing out here in the world to try to help make the world a better place, especially you if you're depressed. I mean, gather that information that she left on the show. You can always podcast the show for later and listen to the show. If you did not get the information or her websites or where you can go and get this book, 10-page book, ebook, and try to get your mojo back. You can always podcast the show. And if you didn't get the information, like I said, and hopefully it'll make your life a little bit better. All righty. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and we've been talking about Donald Trump. The reason why I talk about Donald Trump of politics, because that's what's happening in the world. And I think one of the ways of making the world a better place is we have to clean out the White House. That's making the world a better place, because these people who are currently occupying the White House, they're not doing anything that's positive for the country. They're taking the country down. So one of the reasons is I'm trying to get people out here to the polls. And I'm one of the people who are trying to help get the people to the polls and vote to clean out the White House, to clean out Congress. You know, because this is crazy. I mean, this is really loony. And that's what it's all about. It's not a political show. I have the category of politics on the marquee, but you know, we talk about anything. You know, it doesn't matter. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. For now, we're talking about Donald Trump, because this is all in the news, and this is our country, and we have to make sure that the people running it are honest, and that's not happening right now. That is not going on right now. And I'm not political. I don't know more about politics than you do, but I do know crooks and corruption when I see it. Thuggery when I see it. You know, and I'm just pissed off, because I think America is one of the greatest countries in the world. But now, you know, other people are looking at us from other countries and laughing at us. We're fools. We're dummies, you know, and that's not a good place to be. So I'm always going to be out here to help, to try and fight the good fight because that's what it's all about. It's fighting a good fight to take the country back away from those who are trying to, who want to, and take it back from those who want to destroy it and then blame someone else. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. We have elected an idiot.
All right. That's about enough said about that. We have to, let's see, I'm going to try to turn the wheels a little bit here. Let's see what we got here. As I've said, okay, that's a books. Okay, killing people are saying they're killing. Yeah, okay. Wheelchairs. I don't think I want to talk about that right now, but we'll do that. I guess you want. What are you talking about? Wheelchairs? No, I'm not in a wheelchair yet. Who knows? As you get older, you know, you may wind up in a wheelchair. So many people do. Wow, it is raining like cats and dogs out here. Wow. Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm in my studio, folks, on the north side of the city and near the lake. It's pouring down. I mean, I've said this several times before. Springtime has not arrived in the city of Chicago as of yet. And May is going into its second week. And it has not been a lovely month. If I can take it back 2 or 3 months, like March, April, and now May, it has not been a spring day. If it has been, it's been one actually spring day a month, and that was it. And the rest of the month was just rained out, cloudy, raining, cloudy, thunder, lightning, whatever. And I understand that Chicago is not the only city around America that's having awful weather, where it doesn't seem or appear to be spring. Spring is nowhere to be found. It has happened like this before in the city of Chicago. It has gone from winter to summer. Okay. It has done that a few times. I've been around quite a while, so I know spring to summer, you know, and first it's 60 degrees and next day is 95 or whatever. And that's going to happen now. I think that's what's going to happen this year, 2017, because there has been no springtime in Chicago. It's been rain. It's been gray. It's been cold. It's been windy, unseasonable weather. I don't even listen to the weathercast anymore because these guys, they don't know what they're talking about. And one of the things the meteorologists, they call themselves, I still call them weathermen and weatherwomen. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, one thing I do know, when we have in great weather, when the weather is beautiful and is gorgeous, you turn on the television and you watch these meteorologists, these weather people, they will act as if they are the ones who brought this great weather. They will say, I brought this great weather. So maybe we ought to blame them for bringing bad weather. But you know what they'll say? Well, I didn't bring it. I'm only the messenger. I only tell you what's going on. when it's bad weather and everybody's, you know, angry at them for being wrong on the forecast, right? So they'll say, well, I'm just a messenger. But let us get some nice weather. Let the weather be great and beautiful. Hey, look what I brought you, people. I brought you great weather. Let there be a snowstorm. Well, I'm only the messenger. I just predict, you know, so don't blame me, you know. So, you know, it's, but anyway, because I'm in my studio here, I'm looking out of the window and it's pouring the hell down. If there was a baseball game or playing in Chicago tonight, it would be rained out. And so many times the Cubs and the White Sox, they have played away from home. And even as they played away from home, they were still rained out in some of these other cities that they played. So my thinking is that Chicago is not the only one that's getting this awful, awful, unseasonable weather in the month of May. You can go, what about the April or March? So we're in it together, folks. we're in it together with this bad weather. So that's what we have in common. One of the things we have in common anyway is bad weather. And I try to, I'm not a weatherman. I'll tell you what I see when I look out of my window as I'm broadcasting on the radio or podcasting, whatever they want to call this, you know. And once again, I want to thank my guest, Leslie Nolan, for being on the show. Be nice to one another out there. I mean, be nice. It doesn't take a lot to be nice, to be gentle, to be respectful of one another. I meet people all the time who are just nasty, mean, and ornery. And I think when you're nasty, mean, and ornery, it depletes you of your energy. I think it's more stressful to be nasty, mean, and ornery. And I think if you're nice, you're polite, you're kind. I don't know. I just think, and you have a more positive outlook. I think, you know, I think it reduces stress, you know, than to be pissed off and angry. All right. And this is what the George Wilder Jr. Show is all about. You know, be nice to one another if you can. Because the only way to lose an argument is not to learn from it. Is not to learn from it. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on, I'm all over the place. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter. I'm all over the place. I get these little tweets on my phone sometimes. And sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not so good. Because a lot of times when people are tweeting you all the time on your phone, it gets kind of annoying. You know what I'm saying? It gets kind of annoying. But we deal with it, don't we? Let's just hope the Electoral College doesn't screw up this time. Donald Trump is actually campaigning for 2020. Yeah, 3.5 years from now, 4 years. He's actually campaigning for 2020. Isn't that crazy? He hasn't even gotten in 120 days as president, and he's campaigning for the next election. That's crazy. I've said this before on the show. When a politician wins office, the first thing he's thinking about or she's thinking about is the next election. And Donald Trump is no exception. People are thinking about the next election, especially if you're a representative in Congress, because you only have 2 years. Every 2 years, you have to be reelected. And a lot of these scoundrels in Congress, representatives, the first thing, once they get elected, they thinking about getting reelected. That's it. That's all it's about. Look at Donald Trump. I mean, you served 4 years as president, and he just basically was just sworn in last January, which was about 4 or 5 months ago. And even in the month of January, he was thinking about reelection because he was talking about it. And a lot of us were shaking our heads. What? He just was elected. Why is he thinking about re-election? I don't know. You got me, but Politicians do it. They do it, especially the representatives in Congress, because they, just like I've just got through saying, they only do 2 years. So once they get reelected, and a lot of these guys get reelected because they don't have anybody running against them. So they get back in office. And it's a tragedy, but we're going to try and see what we can do in November 2018, because this is a mess. Okay, like I said before, I do talk a lot of politics on the show, but this show, you can be on this show and talk about anything you want to. It's not politics, because I know a lot of people out there are not into politics. They're not into it. Then I know people listening to the show who will never call in, who are, but they are loyal listeners, because I've, you know, it's things like this just happen. Loyal listeners. I used to listen to talk shows, and matter of fact, I still do. And when I listen to a talk show, I don't even call in. I listen to it. I enjoy it. Why call in? Too many other people were calling in, and they were just as, you know, animated. And So it's okay if you just sit back and listen and enjoy the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to be here as long as I can, as I possibly can. And because I enjoy what I'm doing. If you, and I'll say this again, if you don't have something that you can enjoy doing, then something is wrong in your life. You have to find something that you enjoy. Now, there's so many people go to work every day and hate their jobs, get an attitude at everybody who come up to ask them for something because they can't stand their jobs. I mean, why would anybody want to work at a job that they don't like and they hate? And they have to pretend every day when they go to work like they love it. And then some employees are just out there. They'll let you know from the get-go that they hate their jobs and you better not get in their face. Yeah, but generally, I don't know why people go to jobs where they hate, that they hate. And I don't understand it. But it's a phenomenon. And I always say, if you don't like your job, quit, and then go find something that you can enjoy doing for yourself. Why give that employer your time, your ability, your skills? You're making them rich and they're kicking you out the door. I'm not saying, you know, quit your job. Don't quit your job if you have children and you have to pay your bills. But if you can find a way, you know, to leave someone else's employment and start your own business, that's great. To hire your own people. I've talked about this several times before, but people were motivated. People said, hey, George, that was a good idea.
What keeps us healthy and happy as we go through life? If you were going to invest now in your future best self, where would you put your time and your energy? There was a recent survey of millennials asking them what their most important life goals were. And over 80% said that a major life goal for them was to get rich. And another 50% of those same young adults said that another major life goal was to become famous. And we're constantly told to lean into work, to push harder and achieve more. We're given the impression that these are the things that we need to go after in order to have a good life. Pictures of entire lives, of the choices that people make and how those choices work out for them, those pictures are almost impossible to get. Most of what we know about human life, we know from asking people to remember the past. And as we know, hindsight is anything but 20/20. We forget vast amounts of what happens to us in life, and sometimes memory is downright creative. But what if we could watch entire lives as they unfold through time? What if we could study people from the time that they were teenagers all the way into old age to see what really keeps people happy and healthy? We did that. The Harvard study of adult development may be the longest study of adult life that's ever been done. For 75 years, we've tracked the lives of 724 men. Year after year, asking about their work, their home lives, their health, and of course, asking all along the way without knowing how their life stories were going to turn out. Studies like this are exceedingly rare. Almost all projects of this kind fall apart within a decade because too many people drop out of the study, or funding for the research dries up, or the researchers get distracted, or they die, and nobody moves the ball further down the field. But through a combination of luck and the persistence of several generations of researchers, this study has survived. About 60 of our original 724 men are still alive, still participating in the study, most of them in their 90s. And we are now beginning to study the more than 2,000 children of these men. And I'm the fourth director of the study. Since 1938, we've tracked the lives of two groups of men. The first group started in the study when they were sophomores at Harvard College. They all finished college during World War II, and then most went off to serve in the war. And the second group that we've followed was a group of boys from Boston's poorest neighborhoods, boys who were chosen for the study specifically because they were from some of the most troubled and disadvantaged families in the Boston of the 1930s. Most lived in tenements, many without hot and cold running water. When they entered the study, all of these teenagers were interviewed. They were given medical exams. We went to their homes and we interviewed their parents. And then these teenagers grew up into adults who entered all walks of life. They became factory workers and lawyers and bricklayers and doctors, one president of the United States. Some developed alcoholism. A few developed schizophrenia. Some climbed the social ladder from the bottom all the way to the very top. And some made that journey in the opposite direction. The founders of this study would never in their wildest dreams have imagined that I would be standing here today, 75 years later, telling you that the study still continues. Every 2 years, our patient and dedicated research staff calls up our men and asks them if we can send them yet one more set of questions about their lives. Many of the inner city Boston men ask us, "Why do you keep wanting to study me? My life just isn't that interesting." The Harvard men never ask that question. To get the clearest picture of these lives, we don't just send them questionnaires. We interview them in their living rooms. We get their medical records from their doctors. We draw their blood. We scan their brains. We talk to their children. We videotape them talking with their wives about their deepest concerns. And when about a decade ago we finally asked the wives if they would join us as members of the study, many of the women said, you know, it's about time. So what have we learned? What are the lessons that come from the tens of thousands of pages of information that we've generated on these lives? Well, the lessons aren't about wealth or fame or working harder and harder. The clearest message that we get from this 75-year study is this: good relationships keep us happier and healthier, period. We've learned three big lessons about relationships. The first is that social connections are really good for us and that loneliness kills. It turns out that people who are more socially connected to family, to friends, to community, are happier, they're physically healthier, and they live longer than people who are less well connected. And the experience of loneliness turns out to be toxic. People who are more isolated than they want to be from others find that they are less happy, their health declines earlier in midlife, their brain functioning declines sooner, and they live shorter lives than people who are not lonely. And the sad fact is that at any given time, more than one in five Americans will report that they're lonely. And we know that you can be lonely in a crowd and you can be lonely in a marriage. So the second big lesson that we learned is that it's not just the number of friends you have, and it's not whether or not you're in a committed relationship, but it's the quality of your close relationships that matters. It turns out that living in the midst of conflict is really bad for our health.
All right. So you know that living, if you're lonely out there, you're going to die a lot, connected to family and friends and whatever, you know. But I want to jump back on this. We'll talk about that at a later show, and we're really going to delve into it. But I want to... The show is just about over. We got about 5 or 6 more minutes left. And I want to say this again, that it's time to move beyond polite protest within specified boundaries. It's time to escalate the impression of our outrage, the expression of our outrage and our anger in a massive way. Starting today, from here on, no elected official, none. Certainly those in the GOP, certainly Republicans defending and supporting Donald Trump on a variety of issues, for example, should be able to sit down, should not be able to sit down for a nice quiet lunch. I mean, what they're saying here, folks, is that we have to step it up. We got a clown in his office, and this is dangerous. He's got his finger on a nuclear button, and we know what can happen if he ever pushes it. And with his narcissistic ways, it could happen, and lying ways. So they're saying we have to step it up a little bit more. We got to go out and hound and harass these politicians into doing the right thing until we are able to get them out of office in 2018. This is not a political show now, but I do cover things that's in the news because I think it's important, especially when I'm talking about making the world a better place. And we have to do that. We have to make this world a better place because Donald Trump and people like Donald Trump and the Republicans who are aiding and abetting this kind of behavior in the White House, we have to be the adults in the room, okay? And we have to supervise this. We have to manage this. This is our America. Donald Trump is only in the White House for he may resign, he may be impeached, but he's only in the White House for a short time. 4 years can go by really, really fast, you know, or he could be out a lot sooner. He's only in there for a short time, then someone else is going to occupy it. You know, let's say if Donald Trump does get impeached, and who do we get? Mike Pence. But you know what? I'm willing to deal and fight Mike Pence and some of the issues that he brings up. But I think Mike Pence has some corruption on his side of the aisle, too. I don't think he's squeaky clean in all of this. OK, so we might be getting two with one stone, Mike Pence and Donald Trump out of the White House. That would be great, wouldn't it? We just need to take this country back, folks. We got to figure out ways to do it without violence, without any kind of, violence of any kind of thing like that. We can take this country back by being in their faces, threatening them, threatening their jobs. Because a lot of these politicians, they don't know who the hell they don't know who they work for. Some of these clowns actually think they work for Donald Trump. You know, they actually think that. But they don't. They work for us.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. Heaven help us all.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the George Wilder Jr. Show. We'll be off the air until tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for giving of yourself and your time, and hopefully all your works out there. And thank you for helping to make the world. We're doing our best. We are doing our best, and we. Someone just whispered in my ear. 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Oh my God, I'm gone. Bye-bye, everybody.